On the first morning of Y-Press's reporting trip in Benin, I woke up early and looked outside to see a sunny, quiet cityscape. The streets were nearly empty, without traffic lights or stop signs, but multi-story buildings were visible across the trees. On the way to Y-Press's second interview, in a fishing village near the commercial capital of Benin, American and African rap and R&B played on the radio, pausing occasionally for discussions in French. The village was a little more like the Africa shown in documentaries and relief organizations' photographs. Near the porch where we conducted the interviews were mountains of trash, being scaled by small goats, pigs, chickens, and a little boy. The surrounding houses were constructed out of scrap metal and wood, a far cry from the concrete and stone structures in the city 10 minutes away. Behind the houses and shops, a body of gray water stretched out, dotted with fishing canoes. After our interview, I stood with several other members of my group as we waited to leave. Turning at one point, I saw a small boy wearing a Boy Scouts of America uniform. I've been familiar with that tan shirt for a long time, but the boy in the village was drastically different from the scouts I've encountered in the United States. He eyed us, half shyly, half suspiciously. He definitely wasn't selling anything. It wasn't just a scout uniform. There were scores of things that are commonplace at home, but seemed completely out of place there. I recognized several plants, which should have made the environment more familiar, but the Beninese plant's neighbors were palm trees, their soil sand instead of Indiana's heavy clay loam. Stores lined every roadside, much like the U.S., but they sold furniture, pineapple, and phone cards, and were constructed out of scavenged wood. 14% of people have cell phones, but those who do have two or three, one for each service provider. It is less expensive to have three phones than to call someone with a different service provider, and only 1% of phones are landlines. Oddly enough, everyone still knows whose and which phone is ringing. But even in the middle of this alien familiarity, American issues and questions came up. Some were simple, laughing reiterations of our icebreakers. What's your favorite food? Do you have any pets? Some of the most challenging questions, however, were simple and direct, sometimes translated from French to English, and sometimes worded in halting English by the questioner. What do you think of the American war in Iraq? Are black and white people equal in America? You're black, and you're white. How can you speak to each other? What's it like in America? When talking about their developing nation, what should we in Benin do? For each question, I was equally tongue-tied. Can I really say that everyone here is equal? How can I tell them how our team members got along? America is a huge country. How can I say what it's like to live here with so many unique experiences? How can I tell someone what he or she, or his or her country, should do? I don't know all the answers, their questions or mine. I wish I did. I hope someday I do. For Y-Press, I'm Zoe Hayes. But all of one man, only the mind talk can understand that I'm nasty, master escort.